The old abandoned church reeked of dampness and failure, although the person looking back through a pair of predatorial pupils was highly intelligent and off the scale where IQ was concerned. She was also extremely beautiful. She didn't seem at all the type of person that would be found living like some squalid tramp in this sort of situation. She slept on the high altar and played tennis against the walls most of the time. She was completely bizarre. Her hair was matted. She hadn't taken a shower for at least 2 weeks. She'd cut off her own hair with a pair of scissors in front of a broken piece of mirror. But then again, she wasn't just one in a million, she was one in 50 million. She suffered badly from schizoid personality disorder. She wasn't pure schizoid. She was missing a couple of the normal traits. No depression. She had eternal optimism. Never felt down, sad or low, even in this situation. Felt quite lively. Very similar to hysteria, where some have morbid depression and others are just laughing continuously. Her SPD, well, was quite casual. She herself didn't really know she'd got it. I mean, everyone around her knew that she was detached and distant, very odd. She desired nothing, no company, nothing, even for a beautiful woman. Her abandoned church, as it be, apart from whitewashed walls, there were no ornaments, no photographs of any relatives, nothing adorned the walls. No mere memorabilia of any sort whatsoever. No tables, no chairs, no cooking facilities. Just an empty church, into which she sometimes brought her godchildren. They played tennis. Played football in the loud, echoey space. All the pews had gone. They were bundled outside and stacked up. Yes, she was certainly strange. Her goddaughters absolutely adored her. They couldn't have wished for an auntie more crazy. She bought the church at auction for next to nothing, due to it being almost derelict, and with an order on it to have endless amounts of money spent on it, which she didn't mind. She slowly, slowly attempted the work herself, and also employed some tramps from outside to give her a hand. And slowly, it would probably take another 100 years, but it would be back to what it was. She had no rush. People sometimes would try to hit upon her young men due to the visual attraction. But unfortunately, it spelt disaster. The last time a person had told her his name was Stephen and would she like to go for a coffee, she'd asked him how he spelt it. She said, "I don't think so. It's spelt in the feminine form. You're a step hen. Also, you've probably got some sort of caffè latte lesbian latent inside you that would want to chi-rub some sort of karma up against me. If you were a Stephen of any sort, you'd have to be spelt with a masculine V. Then I may consider. But with a feminine spelling, definitely not." He turned tail, stupefied, dumb, and slinked back to his chair. He wasn't at all keen on this girl. But then again, she wasn't trying to ridicule him in any way. She quite blinked innocently. But he coughed and kerfuffled and left with a blushed response. Very blushed indeed. But it wasn't that she meant to injure him. It's just that she couldn't help it. Whatever fell into her mouth, she had no roof to her mouth, that was the problem. Whatever entered the brain, it fell straight into her mouth and she coughed it out. That's what he got. Still, people couldn't quite understand this schizoid. Her brain capacity was unbelievably high, but it was jumbled. The synaptic sparks and links didn't really, well, they just didn't connect. It was a little like a Picasso painting in his abstract cubist period. You could sense and see the semblance of meaning, obviously, but it was still unnerving. Her spoken sentencing was very, very similar. It all joined up. But it was the strangest thing, spoken in the strangest way. Very, very strange indeed. People would back away. But she had no need for company, she didn't mind. The only people that she ever briefly allowed into her life were the godchildren. Two twins, twin girls. They absolutely adored their auntie, due to the fact that everyone knew she was a crackpot, cuckoo. But nobody knew that she had schizoid personality disorder. If they did, they'd have probably not allowed the children anywhere near her. Not that it's a dangerous problem, it's nothing to do with schizophrenia. But it's a thing that would possibly concern parents dramatically. Then one day, nobody ever expected her to find a partner, male or female. They couldn't quite work out what gender she was. They just thought it was extremely fluid all the time. But there, eventually, she spent most of her time in the libraries and constantly travelled to London 3 times a week to sit for hours and hours and hours in the British Library, just eating volumes and volumes of data. She was a writer. Her sister, her brother, her mother, they used to read her work and find it extremely irritating and far too complex and far too difficult to even try and understand. It was as though it was in some sort of strange codex. But half the world didn't. Half the literary top echelon, especially writers, found her unbelievably talented and swamped her with fan mail, which she never ever read. She never opened. She just used to throw them with the bills. She never opened the bills. She put them all through the shredder. She thought that it would, if she read the bills or she read anything that might just depress her, sadden her, affect her brain in any way, everything that came through the post she put straight through the shredder. And never ever bothered. Any awards, any cups, any medals, any plaques, any plates, any silver of any sort, that was all bundled into the cellar and just left to go black, to the point that you wouldn't even know it was silver. Sometimes gold. No, she didn't need anything. And this laissez-faire lunacy, this is why the two twins absolutely found her brilliantly attractive. They loved her. They would have sold their mother and father to be with her all the time. Whenever Auntie was arriving, they would run down the drive to meet her, and both of them fight for no attention. Their auntie would look at them and scowl, absolute contempt. And one just asked them, "What are you two wretched girls doing plaguing me? Go back to the house." She just threw them away, threw anything away. This is probably why they thought she was fantastic. And then she would buy them the most lavish, lavish gifts. If anyone favoured anything or said anything, she would buy them. Like once she left a horse tied up outside against the gate with a bale of straw to nibble at. A beautiful horse, cost £50,000, like meaningless. She was a multi, tens of millions were flowing into her coffers. It didn't make any difference. She dressed like a tramp, lived like a tramp, slept on a bare stone floor with a rolled out mat. No bed, no nothing. She ate at Witherspoon's. Every day she went to Witherspoon's for breakfast and spent £3.95. Endless coffee and the most ghastly greasy breakfast that money can buy. But that was fine by her. Many, many people came to speak to her, but they usually died a death within a matter of moments. So it was a bit of a shock when the twin girls suddenly realised that she'd found someone. Someone that they didn't want in their space. A man. A man. They spoke to each other. Well, we can't have him. He can't be stealing Auntie away. We've got to have Auntie. We want to live with Auntie. What does he think he's doing? They hatched a plot, which their Auntie discovered. And spoke to them and introduced them to her new man. He wasn't really her man. He was just an associate that she'd met in the library. One in 50 million again, another schizoid. She'd scented him out. She'd never ever seen one, never even spoke to one, but she knew there was something strange because her nostrils had flared and her eye had twitched. Then he had totally disregarded her completely, with absolute apathy and disdain almost. This she found very peculiar, very alluring, not sexually, not lustfully. Even at 30-something, when most girls were looking at a biological clock tick round, she couldn't care less. She had no interest whatsoever in children. She could barely put up with the twin girls. And they were cherub angel. Gorgeous children. But no. Somehow, just as though some planets had aligned, there was a flash of light almost through stained glass windows. That momentary lightning strike when a path is lit up and you walk into some Garden of Eden. Not to bump into Eve or Adam, but just a pleasant space. This person was reasonably pleasant due to him not wanting anything. In fact, as she stood in front of him, she found him not pleasing in any way. It was very, very ordinary. Like white dough, monochromatic, with no smell before it's baked. She didn't really want to touch or anything. Not that she would ever touch anybody. The only person that she'd ever, ever touched on the brow was a dead body. She found that more pleasing than actually touching anyone that was alive. But he'd shafted in like some descent of an angel or something, silhouetted out against the ever-maddening crowd of the British Library, with 2 million a year walk through the place, so it was a matter of time before the one in 50 million walked in. He was it. He eventually looked up for the third time and said, I hope you're not wanting me to cut part of my earlobe off and serve it up to you in a side salad or something. What do you want? She looked back, said, well, I wouldn't cannibalize human anyway. It's far too sweet if you've ever tried it. It's very overrated. And I wouldn't go for earlobes anyway, not in a salad. They're much too much like hairy anchovy. They always have hair on there and take far too much chewing. No, I'd prefer something really, really endangered, like a rare snow leopard or something. This codex of conversation was really just what they both wanted. They looked at each other flat-faced and blankly, emotionless. They didn't say anything. They went back to their work. But then, when they packed away, it was almost simultaneously. They walked out together, two by two, as if they'd just joined a new school of thought. Two young children. Not talking. They never said one word. They didn't encroach in personal space. People walked between them. They were at quite a distance. They didn't like people to come too close. They didn't like touchy-feely people. They didn't want hands on them. They'd never had sex. In fact, that was the crazy thing. When the twins found out that their auntie was still a virgin, they asked her point blank, Mother says that you're a virgin. Does she? Well, I'm sorry to disappoint her. You can relay the message that I lost my virginity before she did.
Really?
Yes. Who did you lose your virginity to? It wasn't a human. It was a dog. It was a Great Dane. I lost my virginity to a Great Dane when I was 22.
A dog?
Yes. She left it at that. The girls look at each other. But then what did they expect? Nothing was ever going to be easy. They spoke to her again. Auntie, who's that man? Who's that man? Oh, he was somebody I found in the British Library. Why? Well, we don't like him, don't you? I don't like him much either.
What do you mean you don't like him?
Well, I don't like him either. I don't like anyone. I don't even like you two. They burst out laughing. I don't like me, so how can I like anyone else?
Don't you like us?
No, never have. The girls found it incredibly, incredibly attractive to be disliked. How could anyone dislike them? They looked at each other, then looked back at their aunt.
Do you mean that, auntie?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I don't like... Really, I just don't like the human race. I really should have been born something other than human. Yes. They found her so bizarre. She looked at them. Do you want to play tennis?
They played tennis in the church. It was so big, they could have a game of tennis. And she'd mapped out a court with lime. They played the stranger, the person they did not like.
What's his name?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know? You've invited him here.
Well, I didn't really invite him. He sort of... The wind sort of pushed him this way.
Are you... Auntie, we think you've...
Oh, don't worry, Gills. He'll either stay or it'll drift off somewhere else.
You haven't spoken to him yet anyway. What are we going to call him?
I don't know. Anything you want.
What about just man?
Man?
You know, like Man Friday, Man... Or call him Man Monday or something.
Man.
Or Man Fred. As in Manfred.
but Manfred with hyphen in between. He didn't know. Well, he doesn't want to speak to you anyway. He doesn't like children. He says that he stops the car to throw stones at them. No, he doesn't. Says he does. Says he has a bag of gravel in the boot. As soon as he sees some, he stops really quickly. Does an emergency stop almost and starts throwing handfuls of gravel at them. He says he loves it. He almost orgasms when he throws it at them. Oh, I can't believe that you've allowed anyone like this into your life. Why not? I don't like them anyway. I've bought a bag of gravel to put in my boot. Oh, Auntie, you haven't. You know you've been arrested many times. But anyway, he has that laissez-faire attitude, and it's great that he does. Because I don't like him either. You don't? I just can't believe that you've allowed him into the space. Our space. Our space? What are you talking about? Well, this is ours as much as yours. How do you figure that? Will you leave it to us when you die? Oh, I don't think so. Well, aren't you going to leave us anything? Oh, I don't know. I'll probably leave you something, but I don't know whether I'll leave you this. What do you want this for? You're not religious in any way. Well, it's not worth anything. I only paid £500 for it. It's falling down. All the cement in every piece of stone is all no good. You've got to replace the cement, which means you've got to take it down and build it again. Is that what you're going to do? Yeah, but it could take 200 years. Well, shall we just play tennis, Auntie? Yes. They played a game of tennis. Their auntie was no good. She never had been. Nobody knew why she really played tennis. Eventually the game was over. She'd just give in and walk off. In between serving or anything, the girls were really competitive. Their mother had made them that way. Their auntie would just walk off to do something else halfway through the game, which so annoyed them to the point where they used to bat the balls at the wall, or they'd bat the balls at each other. Didn't matter. She walked across to the man. She shouted the girls, "Come and see the man." The man looked up. "Aren't you going to tell them my name?" "I don't know your name." "Oh, that's right. How long have we been in the same space and we don't know each other's name? It's probably better that we don't. Just in case." It means getting... When you start telling people names and second names and third names and all this crap. "I have 6 names." The girls gasped. "You have 6? Don't bother telling the girls your name. What are your names?" "Please don't tell them. You can talk... Don't, because they'll only tell the mother and all that business. Just tell them that your name is Man, okay?" "Okay." "No, no, no, tell us." No. "No, I think your auntie's right." "Well, what do you call our auntie?" "Her name's..." Don't tell him my name." "Oh, don't be silly, auntie." No, he's no need to know my name. He knows me as auntie, that's it. He can't call you auntie. You're not his aunt." "No, but... that's what he knows me as, so that's okay." "Don't be ridiculous. Don't bother telling him my name. Anyway, he's boring." "Am I?" "But that's good. If you were really, really sort of charismatic in some way, then attention would drain to you. I mean, the two girls would probably drain towards you anyway. But you're what a cameraman would call lacking sort of any sort of photogenic. Well, you're a photogenic failure, really." "You're not. I suppose the camera likes you." "Well, it's been said before, but it doesn't matter to me. I mean, as you can see, I don't have any mirrors or anything. I'm not interested in all that. No. The girls chirped up. Auntie, we think he's the same as you. You both got the same haircut. You did yourself, don't you? Do you cut your own hair? Yes, he does it too. But he shaves all his hair off, his legs, off his chest, off his everything. He shaves himself completely, top to bottom, everything. Everything? No. Yeah, if you touch his skin, he'll not like you to touch his skin, but if you just touch on the back of his hand briefly there, feel it? Oh! That's what I mean. He shaves all his hair off each day. And what it's done, it's brought him into little pimples so that, or it tears it out, but it comes up in little pimples like a shark. It's like sandpaper, like the tongue of a cat. Oh, the girls were excited now. Another misfit, another crank that was absolutely bananas like a rant. What they didn't realize is that he was 1 in 50 million. Ah, oh, so you shave every single hair off your body. How weird. The guy said nothing. He turned back and kept on painting. Will you have sex? Momentarily, the man's hands stopped. No, I've never had sex. No. So you're like Salvador Dali? Yes. Yes. Good. The man never thought that a child at 6 would know anything about Salvador Dali and his virginity. Dali had been terrified of women's genitalia. He'd had muses, but never touched them in any way. He just painted them by brush. Auntie? Yes. Will you, if you don't have sex and you don't get married, how are you going to have children? We're not going to have children. I told you we don't like children. We never have. I've told you earlier I don't like you. You can't really be serious. No, I can, but you don't quite understand. Most children, I mean, you are extremely well behaved because you've been berated and brought up and sent to a private school. But most children are cruel, the ghastly little entities. At least you are just bearable. Right. So you're not going to have any children? No, definitely not. Mummy says that you've bought a telephone box. Yes. Why? I don't know. It was in Ireland, Dublin. It's a grade one listed. It's very, very old. Why did you buy a telephone box in Ireland that you've never seen? Well, it looks so lonely. And people, well, they'd sort of abused it. And I felt an attachment briefly. But she says that you've bought it and you're spending £100,000 on it to make it like brand new. Yes. But why? Oh, I don't know. But it's a beautiful telephone box. It's 200 years old. It's the only one of its kind. When they've finished, I'm going to go and visit it. Do you want to come? No. Why not? To see a telephone box. Oh, and Auntie, why have you sent us cards with photos of a goat and a tortoise on? Why? Because you now own them. They're yours. I bought them for you. One is in Africa and the other's in Greece. What? I thought I'd. Because they wanted somebody to adopt them, so I put your names down. I didn't want to put my own down. What do I want to adopt anything for? I wouldn't even adopt you. But anyway, you now own a goat and a tortoise. Oh, Auntie, this is crazy. I can't believe that you bought a goat. I'll fly you out to see them if you want. We don't want to go. They've got the names on there, you know. We know, but I don't want a tortoise called Gerald. Well, you've got them now, anyway. I wanted a mobile phone.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, right. What sort of mobile phone?
I haven't got a mobile phone. We know you haven't. You've got another phone box here outside
that you use.
Yes. Why do you have an outside... Why have you turned a telephone box into a toilet, Auntie?
What? Oh, well, it's a use, isn't it?
But... it's so bizarre that we have to use a telephone box when we go to the toilet.
Well, I know, but... It's like Doctor Who has. What do you think he uses when he's time-travelling?
Well, he probably uses a normal toilet.
But then again, he could use the TARDIS, which is a telephone box. It's a police telephone box, like what I use, a big square toilet outside.
Right, but... Auntie, everybody says that you're so...
So what?
So weird.
Anyway, you'll be pleased to know that I've adopted a pet myself.
You've got a pet? You're joking.
No. In fact, I've got two. Well, three if you count the man as one.
Right.
But I don't know whether we count him. He may not be here long.
What is he doing, Auntie? Why is he here?
Well, he's a bit of a genius where art's concerned.
Art? You can't tell me that what he's doing there is art. What is it?
That will sell for sort of almost £40 million when he's done it.
You are joking, Auntie.
No. Seemingly.
Oh, my God.
Now that the girls were very, very interested in the man.
Yes. I thought that might interest you. Have you lost interest in my pets?
The girls didn't look away from the man. They just said, what sort of pets have you got, Auntie? Well, you'll not see them looking at the paintwork. You'll need to turn your head this direction. The girls look simultaneously, almost like the Siamese cats. They moved together.
So, that's one there. What is it? What is it?
Well, it's a rat.
A rat? As big as that? It's as big as a cat.
That's because I've had it on a special diet for a long, long time.
What sort of diet?
Chocolate. It hasn't got any teeth left now. I'm going to have him put some teeth in, some very, very expensive teeth, put him to sleep and he can have some of those implants.
You're joking. They're £2,000 each.
Yeah, but I'm not going to try and put 36 teeth in his mouth. He'll be fine with just, I don't know, 5 up top and 5 down below. That's why he's so fat and doesn't move.
Oh, my God, what's he called?
Oscar.
Oscar.
Oh, Auntie. I don't know why you keep saying, oh, Auntie. It's just a pet.
But it's a rat. A massive rat.
Yeah, it's harmless, though, because it ain't got any teeth. But, the other one is a crow.
Oh, my God, it's all grey.
Yeah, it's because I feed him on junk. I feed him whatever I get from Witherspoons, all the grease and everything. He quite likes it. He eats anything.
It's like a dustbin, a flying dustbin. That's why he's all gone grey. Well, nearly white. It's the lard from the bakery, too. I said to them when I took him across, I've got a little lead for him, and he hops across. Oh, Auntie, no. No, don't tell us this. Why? What's the matter with you? You don't think I'm going to carry him on my arm, do you? He weighs a ton, same as the rat. He's got a lead and a collar. He goes to the shop too. Oh, you don't take a rat, understand? You don't take those on leads to the shops. Please, Auntie. Oh, you children are so silly. What's the matter with you? What do you think I'm going to do? You don't think I'm going to carry him about, do you? Apart from that, if he urinates on me, it's very poisonous. Oh, you don't take them. They wait outside the shop for me at the bakery. They love muffins. That's all we go for, to give them muffins. Oh, Auntie, this is insane. I said to them just as a joke. Well, it wasn't a joke. I think it's true. I said to them, look what your lard, the lard in your bread is not good. Look what it's done to my crow. I said, and the rat. The rat's as fat as hell and the crow's gone grey and can't fly anymore. And they were pretty obscene. No, you didn't say that. I did, yeah. Anyway, back to this man here. Yes, let's go back to the man because you don't like my crow? No, not that. Well, do you like it or don't you? No, I don't like it. And I don't like the rat. Yeah. Oh, well, they probably don't like you either. But he only paints one every sort of 9 months. And you were asking if we were going to have any children. And this seemingly is going to be our child. It's the first one we've ever had together. What are you talking about? Well, the gestation period of seemingly of a genius, the man genius, is 9 months. And he goes on a certain diet. He starves. He gorges. He starves. He'd go without food. And he vomits each morning. He has morning sickness. He has this almost phantom pregnancy about the work, the painting. And then he suddenly gives birth onto the painting, onto the canvas, as it were. It drops onto there like some sort of placenta of paint. And he said it's done within, and he screams while he does it. No. Yes. Just as though he's giving birth. And it takes this enormous amount of starvation and creation to get what he wants onto the canvas in record time. And that's it. That's it? Yes. My God. Yes, so when you say that we're not going to have a child, in actual fact, that, after 9 months, after he's worked himself up and gorged himself to fatness, he then gives birth onto the canvas, wet, congealing blood onto this, what he calls his birthing mat, which is the white canvas you see. You are weird, Auntie. Well, some might say that. Anyway, fancy a game of tennis or not? We just had one and you walked off. Did I? Oh, right.